the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock.
Yeah.
You can move a mountain. You can break rocks.
You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back, high school hockey fans, to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett, along with the usual panel, the Berg boys, Mr. Trasher, and Mr. Del Scanlon. And Bill Berg, let's start out with you tonight. You got us a guest for tonight, and I'm sure we're going to have plenty to talk about with him.
Yes, I do. I had in addition to getting the normal scores after every game from Coach Troy Schwer of the Fox City Stars, I happened to notice that they had played Eveleth, my wife's hometown. And then I looked at the schedule and saw that they were actually in a tournament in Eveleth, which meant they got to spend some time in the lovely city on Durange. And after having a brief conversation with Coach Schwer, I invited him to join us so he can tell us about his experiences in, as they call it up there, the home of hockey.
Yeah, no. Thanks for having me. You know, I've been coaching for 16 years, and really, one of the things I always wanted to do with the group was take them somewhere in northern Minnesota, whether it be where I grew up in Roseau or to Eveleth, something that I could share with these guys, the culture. And you know, when I'm always referring to back in the day, or I'm talking about Rose or old time guys, I wanted them to be able to go and experience it. And, you know, when you get to, you know, go to Eveleth and to the Hippodrome and look up and see the names and see the history, you know, I hope that's something that those guys could take with and the parents. And, you know, along the way, we got to watch a little hockey. So and play a little bit. It was a great experience. You know, the Hockey Hall of Fame. We went to visit the Hibbing Ice Arena, obviously playing in the Hippodrome. We went to the Hull Rest Mine, which is like the Grand Canyon of the North. So, you know, a phenomenal 3 days, brought me back to, you know, back when I was 8-10 years old. And I hope the kids really got a taste of hockey culture from a northern Minnesota perspective.
And do you want to tell us about somebody you did not expect to meet up there, but did?
Yeah, you know, we were driving downtown Main Street, Eveleth, and we were gonna eat lunch at this pizza place called Snickers. So we were taking a left on a side street, and our bus driver stopped the bus, and we were getting out. And as I got out, there was this gentleman standing on the corner, and I'm thinking, oh boy, we're taking up the whole street. He's going to tell me to, you know, we got to move the bus. And he kind of, you know, waves over to me. So I walk over to him and he said, are you guys from Green Bay? And I said, well, kind of, we're just south of Green Bay in Appleton, Wisconsin. And he goes, oh, well, my name's John Masick. And I just kind of did a double take. I'm like, excuse me? He goes, I'm John Masick. I don't know if you really know me, but I used to play for the Green Bay Bobcats. And I just kind of stood there. You know, that's like seeing Michael Jordan or Mickey Mantle. I mean, this is what kind of an icon this guy is. And the kids got off the bus, and I introduced him. And he said, Coach, these kids don't know who I am. He goes, you know, I played back in the 60 Olympic team. And then they kind of were like, oh, boy, this, you know, 60 Olympic team. And he was gracious. He walked across the street, took photos at the big hockey stick, took individual pictures with every player that wanted to take pictures. It was, you know, it was something, you know, from my perspective growing up, you know, that's the names and the legends that you hear about. And to be able to see him and meet him in person was something I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
And yeah, just a piece of perspective. A couple of years ago, our friends over at the Minnesota Hockey Hub did their list of the top 100 high school hockey players in Minnesota high school hockey history. And coming in at number one was John Masick. They actually pronounce it with a – everybody up there has an itch in their name. And but he was right the top high school player in the history of Minnesota high school hockey. In 4 years that he was in high school, they did not lose a game. They won 4 state championships. He holds records still for scoring in single games and tournaments. Holds scoring records for the University of Minnesota. Played on the 1956 silver medal team and the 1960 gold medal team. To get a, not just him, but as far as Eveleth goes, that 1956 silver medal team had three players from Eveleth and the coach, John Mariucci. Familiar sounding name. I think they have a rink named after him in the Twin Cities. Was the coach of that team. Willard Eichela was the goalie on that team, and he went on to have a great coaching career at that cake-eating team, Edina, over there in Minnesota. So, yeah, lots of hockey history in Eveleth, and John Mayasich is a legend up there, and, well, in the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
And a little further note to that, too, Coach, is that one of the guys that you probably know from over in Fox Valley area, Kip Karakas, believe is it his uncle or his grandfather was an NHL goalie?
I believe it's his grandfather, and he's Iron Mike Karakas. And Eveleth, let me tell you, one of the great coaches from Rosa was from Eveleth, Oscar Almquist, who, coached a little bit before me, but, you know, hopefully helped me develop. And that was a goaltending mecca when you think of Eichela and Iron Mike. And, you know, I still am hard-pressed to find any place in the U.S. that has kind of created the type of goaltenders and the history from a goaltending perspective than Eveleth had.
Well, yeah, when I went to the Hall of Fame, Mike Karakas, Sam Lopresti, Frank Brimsek. I mean, Frank Brimsek was a Vezina Trophy winner from Eveleth. In fact, I kind of check it, like the 1941-42 season, the goalie for the Blackhawks was Sam Lopresti from Eveleth. The goalie for Boston Bruins was Frank Brimsek. And that's back in the day when each team only had one goalie. So out of six NHL teams, I mean, two of them had goalies from Eveleth, Minnesota, just a dinky little town up on the Iron Range.
Yep.
And you won the tournament.
We did, yeah. We started. Our first game was against the hometown Eveleth. We beat them 5-3 in a very good game, you know. And then we played Kitson Central, and we won the championship, beating a Proctor team. So, you know, I think so. It was a great weekend. You know, it was great to see how our kids kind of had to adapt. Burglar and Eveleth, it's a different brand of hockey. The refs, they let a lot of little things go. And that first period against Eveleth, we were down 3-2. And we had to kind of figure out how to play the game because, you know, we're getting, you know, maybe hooked a little bit or little different things that maybe gets called. In other places there, they just let you play. And I love it. It's a great game. They're going to let you go out there and decide who's going to win, and they're not going to call every little tic-tac thing. They'll call what needs to be called. It was good for our boys to understand that brand of hockey and how to fight through it. So overall, it was just a tremendous experience. And I hope every one of our players, that's something they can take with them for, you know, a lifetime and build on their passion and love for the game.
Troy, it sounds like that when you played those games up there and you talk about the officiating there, sounds like those games really have a lot of flow to it, not as many whistles for, like you said, the ticky-tacky stuff.
They do, especially the Eveleth game. It was back and forth. I think that the Proctor game, that probably didn't quite have the flow. We were up a little bit, and so the officials, I think, just to stop the game from getting out of hand, from a physical standpoint, you know, did tend to call a lot of matching penalties. But, you know, that Eveleth game was everything that I wanted our players to get from the trip in terms of the physical nature, in terms of the grittiness. And, you know, like we told, I told those kids in the locker room to take a saying from the Hoosiers. I said, listen, these kids know three things. They know hockey, mining, and school in that order. And I think they came away with an appreciation for that.
So are we going to look for you guys to take a bunch of penalties in your next Wisconsin game?
Well, I hope not. Again, you know, that's you know, you need to understand what the officials are calling and what they're not calling, and I hope our kids are smart enough to recognize and adjust. But you know, well, you guys know it's a great brand of hockey. It really is, and some people would call it, you know, chippy hockey or whatever. I just think it's a great brand. It's what hockey is meant to be, and it's letting those kids go out there and play hard, play through things, and the officials aren't ultimately gonna have a big determination on who wins or loses a game by, you know, calling a little hook here or a little hook there.
Troy, are you saying they officiate a little bit different in Minnesota?
Well, yeah. And listen, I'm not here to make any officials mad. That's not my intention. Trust me, I have enough trouble in Appleton not getting penalties called on us, so I don't need to hurt myself anymore. But yeah, they just let them go out and play. At least where I grew up in Rosa, went up in Eveleth, it is just a different brand of hockey, and it's a different mindset and a different mentality.
Well, great job up there. Way to represent Wisconsin and do us proud up there.
Well, thank you. No, I you know, I'm just kind of looking at a lot of the Wisconsin teams that kind of took part in tournaments in Minnesota here over the Christmas break, and not just us. I think a lot of Wisconsin teams are kind of, you know, heading to the mecca of hockey, and I think all in all representing very well, which, you know, I think that speaks well for not only the state, but more importantly, I think it speaks to the development of hockey in Wisconsin. And I'm excited for what the next generation, next decade will do, you know, in terms of being able to go to Minnesota and compete with the best that they have to offer.
Well, one thing that didn't happen during this holiday season, which had been happening quite a bit, is Notre Dame, Edgewood, Appleton United, and Superior have for years been playing in that Hilltopper tournament at Duluth Marshall. And this year, they moved the showdown in Titletown from a late January tournament to a holiday tournament, and that took place just over the past, last week. And Trasher was there on, what was it, Thursday or Friday?
It was on Friday.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so that was my segue, and I'll take over from there.
Smooth, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good. You left MJ right out of it. He's probably fuming or he's gone, one of the two.
I thought you'd take MJ, or not him, Mason to practice.
Yeah, all right. So I get to see two games. I saw the third-place game and the championship game. Third place game was Eau Claire Memorial and Notre Dame. And Memorial started out and they scored in the first period just 22 seconds in. And it was 2-1 at the end of one. And each team scored two in the second. It was 4-3 to go to the third period. And Memorial scored the only two goals 2 minutes apart in the middle of the period to take a 6-3 win. Shots were 37-29 in favor of the Tritons. Got more shots on the goalie, but couldn't put them in. Trevor Hudasek stopped 34 in getting the win. And Notre Dame kind of has a little bit of a goalie situation now. Their senior goaltender, Jason Revolinski, apparently suffered a groin injury, and basically I think it's going to take him out for the rest of the season in a game against Appleton the prior week. So Bo Buckley, a freshman, has been kind of thrown into the starting role, and he got a chance to see, you know, a pretty solid Memorial team. He had 23 saves, a nice effort, but at sometimes he was just overmatched. You know, you don't when you're a freshman, you don't know everything about angles and technique and all the little tricks of the trade, but I thought he did quite well against a pretty solid veteran Memorial team. But Memorial took the third place game 6-3. And then the nightcap was Waukesha and Madison Edgewood. And that game was pretty much all Waukesha. Even though the shots were even, 29-26, the Wings held just a small advantage. It was kind of the Ian Malcolmson show, but I've seen the Wings play twice this year, and I don't really expect anything less. He had 2 goals and 2 assists in the game. And he's, like we discussed earlier, he is one of the top players in the state. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be probably a Player of the Year finalist. Definitely a good player. He's got some good teammates around him. Wyatt Wilderman is a solid player. Ben Sorgi had a goal in that game. Garrett Larson is a sophomore goaltender. He's getting better all the time. He had 25 saves in that game. They looked really good. It was kind of an interesting part in the game where the goalie, Shane Ryan for Madison Edgewood, got called for a 5-minute major head contact. So on a major penalty, I think this is the way it was explained to me, the offender has to come off. You know, like where if it's a 2-minute minor for the goalie, they just have somebody serve it. Well, he had to come off. So he was in the sin bin for 5-minute major. Ben Sigelski came out and covered for him while he was in the box. He saved 5 out of 6 shots. And then after a certain period of time, then Ryan came back into the game. But I think that was the first time I had ever seen a game where the goalie had to sit in the penalty box. I've seen one in college where in a Badger game, the opposing goalie, I don't remember what happened, but he had a 5-minute major and he had to go sit in the box. But I know Pete Rothering was kind of shaking his head and said, yeah, that's the first for me. And it didn't really affect him too much, but they just didn't have enough firepower in that game, and Waukesha took a 4-1 win, and they won this year's version of the showdown in Titletown, guys, and that's about I got.
I don't know that I've ever actually seen a goalie sit in the box in person. I have seen a goalie take a major and get thrown out, but he didn't have to sit in the box. He had to leave the ice entirely.
Anybody I know?
Yeah, your other son. He may have been one of those hormonal bantams at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, that'll also, with the showdown in Titletown, the first round of that tournament was on Wednesday, and that brought me over to Cornerstone for our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Game of the Week. The Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, and state-of-the-art facilities and technology. And I went over there for Game 3 of that tournament, which was Waukesha and Nina Hortonville Menasha. And it was, well, I didn't know how long we'd be there because when we got there, the second game was, overtime was just finishing up between Wausau West and Oakland Memorial. Then that went to a shootout, which Oakland Memorial won. And the first game also ended up with a regulation tie and overtime. And that one ended up in a shootout, too. And this game between Nina Hortonville Menasha and Waukesha went into overtime. And I thought we were going to be 3-for-3 on the ties and the shootouts. But Trent Tucker scored with just 2:06 left in the overtime off a pass from Ian Malcolmson to give Waukesha the win in that game. But it was a back-and-forth game. Very tight defense by both of these teams. Very low shots on goal. Shots on goal were 12-7 after 2 periods, just 7-4 after the first period. There were a lot of shots taken, but both teams did an excellent job of just clogging up the shooting lanes, blocking shots. Not much got through. In the write-up I did, I mentioned, you know, Waukesha being opportunistic because neither team really had a whole lot of scoring chances, but it just, I mean, there was such good defense played. All of a sudden, when they did get somebody free, it was just like a bang-bang play, like the overtime goal. Malcolmson, you know, back behind the goal line, just out front to Tucker, and just right away, just, you know, one-timer from in the slot. Goaltender Preston Long didn't have much of a chance on that. In fact, Waukesha's second goal was like that also, where Josiah Dietrich got flattened in the corner. He left the puck. It was number 15. Somebody else got it, threw it out front, and Tucker banged that one home too from the slot. Just quick plays like that. Just very good defense. Not a whole lot of shots, but the shots that were there were just quality scoring opportunities, and Waukesha came up in the end with the winner in overtime. And our other Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine game of the week, the girls' game, Dell was at. Well, let's see if we can come back to Dell later. And we'll now go to the the Radisson-Madison Players of the Week. Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel in the official state tournament, home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And just to break it up, do you want to take this, Trasher?
Sure, I can do that. On the boys' side, we're going to start on the boys' side because B is before G, but only in the alphabet. And the winner of our boys' award for the week is Landon Albrightson, a forward for Baldwin-Woodville. In three games, he scored, well, 3 goals and 3 assists in a 7-6 win over Madison West, 2 assists and a 5-3 win over Oshkosh, and 1 goal and 1 assist in a 7-0 win over Madison Memorial. These games took place in the Culver's Cup, and they actually won that. So for 3 games, he had 4 goals and 6 assists, and for that, Landon Albrightson is our Radisson-Madison Player of the Week. On the girls' side, our winner is senior goalie Aaron Sparks of the Tomahawk Lakeland Co-op. In 3 games, she had 54 save shutout in a 0-0 tie with the Metro Lynx, a 30 save shutout in a 4-0 win over Brookfield, and 35 saves allowing 1 goal in a 1-0 loss to USM. So for the week's worth of work, 119 out of 120, that's not too awful bad. And for that effort, Aaron Sparks, Tomahawk Lakeland goalie, is our Radisson-Madison Player of the Week. Burglar, we had some pretty good nominations there. That was maybe a tough choice, but Sparky had a hell of a week, and 119 out of 120, that's not too awful bad.
No, you're right. We had a couple of nominations for some other goalies. Rebecca Binder from the Fondy Warbirds Co-op had a good week, and Anna Holzbach from the Green Bay Ice Bears had a very big week. Also stopping, 127 out of 130 over the course of 5 games. So some very good performances, and the honor goes to Aaron Sparks. And I think I heard Dell come back online. Dell, are you there for our girls' game of the week?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I actually got to go to the opening round of the Culver's Cup and see the St. Croix Valley Fusion take on the USM Wildcats. And first period was real tight. It was ended up in a 1-1 tie. The DeLong sisters were able to connect together to put the Fusion up early in the game. But then with about 30-some seconds left, the Wildcats came back and tied it up to end the first period. And it went all the way until the third period before the Fusion broke it open, scoring four goals in the third period to win the game 5-1. Fusion went on and made it to the championship game, but fell to the Metro Lynx. And like a lot of the tournaments this weekend, they all, you know, had some really good action going on. The opening round of this saw Lakeland taking on the Metro Lynx, where, as Trasher pointed out, Aaron Sparks put up a shutout, but then the Lakeland fell in a shootout. And, you know, just a very good weekend all around down at the Culver's Cup. And with that, I'm going to toss it back to Bergler.
All righty, that brings us to our top tens, which haven't been updated in 2 weeks. And I would imagine there should be a little bit of shakeup, as there are a lot of interesting things going on with the holiday tournaments, as there always are, as you get teams from different areas of the state playing against each other. So, Bill, why don't you take it away with the top ten?
Sure. For the boys, Hudson is still number one, although they are no longer unanimous. You can thank Trasher for that. Otherwise, they would be. Number two is Wausau West. Three is Waukesha. Four is Spash. Five is Arrowhead. Six is Eau Claire Memorial. Seven is the Fox City Stars. Eight is Nina Hortonville Menasha. Nine is Appleton United. And 10th is Eau Claire North. Honorable mention for the boys are Antigo, Chippewa Falls, Middleton, USM, and West Salem. For the girls, Central Wisconsin is number one. Once again, you can thank Trasher for them not being unanimous. I'm calling you out here, Trasher. Two is Bay Area. Three is Hayward-Spooner. Four is Eau Claire-Altoona. Five is Hudson. Six is Fond du Lac. Seven is St. Croix Valley. Eight is USM. Nine is Metro Lynx. 10 is Rock County. An honorable mention for the girls is Appleton United. And Troy, I want to ask you, 7, 8, 9, Fox Cities, Nina Hortonville, Menasha, and Appleton United, all from the Badgerland Conference. That must look
pretty
good.
Yeah, let me tell you. The Badgerland Conference, you know, I've been saying that it's definitely one of the toughest conferences, and then you even want to go a step further and look at Section 5 when you know, take in the likes of Notre Dame, and then the WIA thought it wasn't tough enough, so they said, let's throw Antigo in there as well. So, you know, any given night in the Badgerland, you know, I think what's great about it is the parity, that any given night, you know, any of these four teams or three teams I just mentioned can win, or, you know, they can get knocked off, which is, you know, it's great for the conference, and, you know, great for hockey in Wisconsin to see such great parity throughout the state and the conference that we're in.
Now, do you and I want to know, Mr. Elkin and Nina, have any kind of rivalry going? You've both been in your jobs for a while. You both have a son leading your teams in scoring.
Yeah.
Does that, you know, give you any?
You know, I can't speak for Mike, but, you know, I respect what he's done for the program. You know, you guys talked about their game against Waukesha, and, you know, I think that speaks to what he's really promoting and what he's building there is a solid team. They're not going to beat themselves. They're fundamentally sound. But yeah, there's a rivalry. You know, here coming up in a week and a half, we're playing for the Tri-County Cup. We both share the same ice rink, and I think bragging rights, you know, do mean a lot. It doesn't mean we don't like each other. We're competitive. We want to beat each other. But, you know, from my perspective, I truly respect what he's doing and think he does a great job with that program.
Yeah, and speaking of the Badgerland Conference, that is our favorite conference in the state, simply because of your setup. Play each other once and then have a conference tournament at the end of the season.
Yeah, we
like that.
Yeah, and, you know, that changed a few years ago, and let me tell you, I think that was one of the best changes that we could have made. And, you know, again, you get a game to against each team to kind of set up your, you know, kind of the rankings to go into the end of the end of the season tournament. The environment, it's all hosted at Fond du Lac, which, you know, just does a tremendous job putting it on. And I really can't think of a better way to end the season than that, you know, than the tournament. And I think it also really, really prepares you for the rigors of the postseason. So, yeah, it's a great tournament. I don't know why every conference wouldn't do something like that, because it's just an exciting way to end the conference season.
Now, Troy, you were saying that January 10th game between Fox Cities and Neenah is basically a championship of the rink type thing?
Yeah, every year we play for the Tri-County Cup, and, you know, we're rivals. But to me, a rival means you should win once in a while, and we haven't won that for a few years. So we're hoping to really add a little bit to the rivalry here on the 10th and going in and winning that Tri-County Cup, which we haven't did for a few years.
You know, guys, I think Coach here is trying to make a push for Game of the Week on January 10th there at the Tri-County Arena.
Well, we have some work to do still. We got Beaver Dam and Brookfield coming up, so I don't want to look too far ahead. But, I'm thinking that should be as long as we show up and play, because I know Neenah's going to. That should be, that should really be, I think, a great game.
All righty, that takes us up. Oh, yeah, speaking of upcoming games of the week, this week, a different conference, the Big Rivers Conference, is going to be the home of our boys' game of the week on Thursday, number 1 Hudson versus number 6 Eau Claire Memorial in a Big Rivers showdown at the Hobbs Ice Arena in Eau Claire. And one of us will be there. And then the next night, the girls' game, our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine game of the week on the girls' side will be Friday, the Metro Lynx versus Appleton United. And between Trasher and Dell, I'm not sure who's going to be at one, but one of them will be at one game and the other one will be at the other game.
Well, I'll be up there at Appleton on Friday evening, and while Trasher's got the boys' side covered there at Hobbs Ice Arena. And I honestly believe we got two good games of the weeks on the schedule this week, guys.
Yeah, it came down to also on Thursday at the same time, also in the Big Rivers Conference, and just about 20 minutes up the road, Eau Claire North will be playing Chippewa Falls, which should be another good game. Two teams that are in the honorable mention and trying to make a statement, trying to wrestle the bragging rights for the Eau Claire area, which have been firmly in the hand of Eau Claire Memorial for a number of years now. A couple other teams trying to make a statement and trying to get themselves on the radar for hockey over in that part of the state. Anybody have any final thoughts before we wrap this puppy up?
Well, I just want to thank Coach Schwerer for being here tonight.
Thank you guys. You guys do a phenomenal job, and I know you guys put a lot of work into this. And so thanks for everything you guys do and for helping promote, this great game at the high school level. So thanks to each one of you.
Well, and thank you. I know we've invited people on in the past, but I don't know that anybody else has ever actually shown up, have they?
Once or twice. I think we've talked to Ebner, and there was another coach a couple years ago.
Pete Susans was on once.
Yeah. Well, Pete likes to talk.
Yeah, well, we have to have a little variety. I'm sure our fans and followers get sick of hearing us blather on all the time. So it's nice to hear an experience like Coach Swear had up in Eveleth, and continued success to you this season, Troy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Well, yeah, I met our listeners when I was over in Cornerstone. The listener that we have from Wausau, the goalie's dad. And surprisingly, Scott Suick, who I had coached, he had played hockey youth level with my granddaughter Nikki. I'd coached them as peewees, and we saw him over at the rink. He'd heard our podcast, and we he thought that it's that the game of the week, it sounded like it should be a good game, so he went to the game. I mean, how often does that happen? Somebody hears that, oh, that should be a good game, and he went, and it was a good game. And then he suggested a place for us to eat afterwards, and that turned out to be a good place to eat, so it was win-win all around. And with that, I think we will wrap up this edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And MJ will be back next time, and we'll all be back. Well, Dell, yeah, Dell will still be here next week. We'll all be back next time, a week from tonight. Maybe we'll have another guest. Maybe it'll just be us. Tune in and see. Thank you for listening to This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And we're done.